If you close with Christ, His death is your death. His righteousness is your righteousness. And the only verdict you will ever hear, no matter what you've ever done, is justified. Life. Heaven.
What does it mean that the just shall live by faith? John Piper turns to Habakkuk to unpack the heart of the gospel in this episode of Light and Truth. This sermon was originally preached at Bethlehem Baptist Church on October 31st, 1982.
Would you turn with me to the prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament? While you're looking for that, let me try to bring you into the situation of Habakkuk so that when we focus on its content, you'll know a little bit of the background. The situation is that the invasion of Judah, that is the southern kingdom, is imminent from the Chaldeans, or another name for them, the Babylonians. The invasion eventually happened at the end of the 6th century B.C., and Nebuchadnezzar, with his forces, sacked Jerusalem in about 586 B.C. Before that happened, the Lord revealed to Habakkuk that, in fact, it was going to happen, that Judah would be punished for her sins by the invasion of the Chaldeans. And unlike Joel and Zephaniah and Amos, whom we have looked at before, nowhere in Habakkuk is there any mention of the possibility that judgment might be averted. Nowhere does he call for national repentance. It's too late. It is coming. That's it. All we can do, therefore, according to Habakkuk, is prepare ourselves as individuals to get ready for it. And the way he says that an individual can prepare to live in the judgment is by faith. So destruction is decreed, and the hope of individuals is faith, but the nation as a whole is going to be blasted. Now, the full-blown doctrine of justification by faith, which we're going to aim at, is not here yet in Habakkuk, but the seed is here. Now, what's the main point of this book? I'd love we had time here to just let you tell me what you think the main point is. I'll tell you what I think the main point is. Negatively and positively. Negatively, the main point of this book is proud people whose strength or ingenuity is their God come to a woeful end. Even though for a time it may look like they have the upper hand, conquering Judah or within Judah, ripping off the widows. But positively, the main point of this book is a positive point, namely, the just shall live by his faith. That's stated as a principle in chapter 2, verse 4, and then in chapter 3, verses 16 to 19, it's a confession of faith. The just shall live, shall gain their life. So when Habakkuk says, even when all the fruit and the produce and the flocks and the herds are destroyed and my very life is threatened, nevertheless, I will rejoice in my God. When he says that, he shows what he means by faith. Faith is banking all your hope on the goodness and the power of God, even when times look absolutely bleakest. That's the faith that gives life in the judgment day. Now, remember, Habakkuk began his book in chapter 1 by saying in Judah, the people were letting the law go slack. They were committing violence and strife and justice was perverted. So you might expect that when he came to say, here's how to gain your life, he might have said, cease being violent. Do justice. Put away strife. That's what Amos said. But he doesn't say that anywhere in this book. When judgment is certain, and the only question left is, how can you stand before the wrath of a holy God when it's coming? The answer of Habakkuk is, trust Him for mercy in wrath. The just shall live by his faith. Habakkuk's message comes very close to the heart of the gospel. When he says, the just shall live by his faith, he implies two things. One is that all people who are righteous are people who trust God. You never have a person who is trusting in God who's not righteous. And you never have a person who's righteous who's not trusting in God. That's the first thing. And the second thing he implies is that faith is what saves in the judgment. When the Chaldeans come or at the end of the age, when the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The just shall live by his faith. Just people, this is what he means now, I think. Just people are people of faith, and that faith secures their life and keeps them safe for all eternity. The reason I say that Habakkuk only comes close to the heart of the gospel, he does not get to it. He does not make the heart of the gospel explicit. The reason I say that is because in Habakkuk, the relationship between righteousness that we must have to stand before God and faith is not stated. All Habakkuk says is righteous people have faith, and that faith saves them. He doesn't say what the relationship is between the faith and the righteousness, but the heart of the gospel is that righteousness which God requires comes by faith. And it comes to sinners by faith because Jesus died for our sins. Here's the way Moses put it, Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed, had faith. Abraham believed God, and God reckoned it, his faith, to him for righteousness. That's the heart of the gospel. If we go on to include the New Testament message of how it is that God can do that for the ungodly, he can do it because our sins, which get taken away, were put on Jesus, and he bore them for us. That's already seen in Isaiah 53:11. It says, by his knowledge, speaking of the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. There's the connection for us. Justification and Christ bearing our sin. So, when God reckons a person righteous, because Christ died for his sin and he trusts in Christ, that's what we mean by justification by faith. And that is the heart of the gospel. The best news in all the world for anybody who knows that he's a sinner and that God is holy and cannot brook sin. But before we move out too far from Habakkuk, let me get us back in close to see something else. The judgment of God is coming, according to Habakkuk. Most immediately in the Chaldean destruction, finally at the end of the age. What is it? This is the key question in Habakkuk. What is it that will bring life instead of death in the judgment? Now, I pause here to make sure that everybody in this room, that is your question. Because if it's not, you're in a dream world. You are living in a fool's paradise of unreality if you do not ask with all your heart, how can I stand before the judgment of a holy God who cannot look upon sin? And the reason I say that's our question and not just Habakkuk's question, even though we're some 2,500 years later, is because the New Testament makes it crystal clear judgment awaits every individual in this room. For example, Hebrews 9. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. Or Romans chapter 2. People who resist God are storing up for themselves wrath on the day of wrath when the righteous judgment of God will be revealed from heaven. On that day, it will appear clearly to everybody how utterly naive many intellectual people have been in this world to think that the God who made this world for His glory will not call men to account for how little He has meant to them. That's naive. And it will appear naive to everyone, even if right now you are drunk with self-confidence. It squares with Scripture. It squares with reason. To use the words of Paul, He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man, Christ Jesus. Acts 17:31. It's your question, people. You must ask it. How can I, a sinner, stand before the judgment? If you die tonight, that's it. You stand before the judge in the great courtroom of the universe. There will be two verdicts, condemned or justified. It is the most important question you can ever ask. How can I get this verdict in the judgment? Justified. Free. Come on in. That's the most important question you can ever ask. Now here's the answer from Habakkuk 2:4. Judgment is coming. The proud are in trouble. But the just shall live, shall gain their lives. How? What are the two words? By faith. Now, Habakkuk knew that everybody in Judah was a sinner. And he knew that holiness, God's holiness, prevents him from looking upon sin. Verse 13 of chapter 1, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look on wrong." So Habakkuk was sort of up against it, and all he could say was, "Trust Him. And you'll gain your life." He was not told by God how God could preserve His holy hatred for sin on the one hand and His zeal to show mercy to sinners forever and ever on the other. Habakkuk didn't know. But Paul knows, because the Apostle Paul was told by God through Jesus Christ. And here's the word from Romans 3. They are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation or atoning sacrifice to be received by faith. It was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins, treated them as if they weren't very significant. It was to prove that at the present time, God is righteous and justifies him who has faith in Jesus. And the two close in Jesus Christ. Paul shows us how. So, let me translate this in conclusion into three statements and then make a brief comment about each one. When you, in this room, cease to rely on yourself, trying somehow to keep your conscience slaked before the Almighty Holy God, trying to make your life meaningful on your own, trying to overcome your bad habits on your own, when you give up on all that and close with Jesus, through faith, three things happen. Your sin receives its deserved condemnation. God's righteousness receives its deserved glorification. And you receive your undeserved justification. Let me just make a comment about each of those. Folks, this is the best news in the world. This is the heart of the gospel. This is worth shouting about to everybody because everybody stands condemned before a holy God. Your sin receives its deserved condemnation. You may be drunk right now with self-confidence before the holiness of God. Not in the least worried. No skin off your nose. I promise you, on your deathbed, you're going to sober up. You're going to be scared to death that in a few hours, you will stand before the God who made you for His glory and hear His sentence. Therefore, I beseech you, before that day comes, settle it. God does not will to condemn you on that day. Jesus Christ is His yes to you, to be received by faith. What the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. He sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin and condemned sin in the flesh. Your sin, when you close with Jesus, is condemned. It's over. All the punishment is done 2,000 years ago. You're free. If you close with Christ, His death is your death. His righteousness is your righteousness. And the only verdict you will ever hear, no matter what you've ever done, is justified. Life. Heaven. But it is not as though God was playing fast and loose with His own righteousness. If God's righteousness were not a concern to Him, He could sweep your sin under the rug and say, oh, everybody, come on in. He cannot do it because of His righteousness. And therefore, He sends His own Son to bear those sins, to bring together holiness and mercy in one great act of redemption on the cross. In a moral universe, there is no sweeping of sin under the rug. The sins you committed 10 years ago are as vivid, as real, and as condemning as though you did them last night. For God is holy, and He will bring you to an account for those unless, and you all are nodding, those of you who are in the fold, unless there's an atonement. Unless somehow those sins could be borne by another. And He did it with Jesus. So those sins you did last night need not be on your shoulders this morning, nor forever and ever. And finally, not only when you close with Christ do your sins receive their deserved condemnation, and not only does God's righteousness receive its deserved glorification, you receive your undeserved justification. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To the one who does not work, but trusts Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. So Habakkuk taught us that when judgment comes, the just will live by faith. They're going to be saved by their faith. And when that little seed comes to full flower in the New Testament, we see that the reason the just will live in the judgment by their faith is because the just are just by their faith. And they can be just by their faith because Jesus Christ bore their sin. So I close with this word from Romans 3, and it closes with an invitation. And I hope that you will hear it and heed it. They are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward to you to be received by faith.
This is Light and Truth, God-centered preaching to help you see Christ clearly and treasure Him truly. I'm your host, Dan Kruver. Thank you for listening. On our next episode, John Piper continues our 11-part series, God's Voice in the Minor Prophets, with a sermon titled, God's Righteous Rule. I hope you'll join us. For more resources, visit desiringgod.org.